The Samsung Neo QLED 8K TV featuring incredible color volume with 8K AI upscaling powered by 20 neural networks on an impossibly slim screen is the kind of TV that's so visually astounding, so unfathomably well-designed, it has to be seen to be believed. Don't believe me? Well, okay then. Radio has its limits. Samsung Neo QLED 8K. Unreasonably good.
You are listening to the Sideline SaaS Podcast, Episode 13, Game-Winning Throws and Pebble Beach Pros.
Today, we will be talking about the Super Bowl, of course. Maybe a little Tom Brady, maybe not. Also, we'll be sharing our experience covering our very first Pebble Beach AT&T Pro-Am, our first golf event ever.
Exciting.
Very exciting. And we'll try not to get distracted by this beautiful view at the 18th hole where we're podcasting right now.
What was that?
Pay attention, Kaylee.
Let's get sassy.
Let's get started.
Hey everyone, Kaylee Chris here with my beautiful co-host, Emily Van Buskirk. Welcome to the podcast.
You are too kind. If this is your first time listening, then you picked a gorgeous day to join us. The Sideline SaaS Podcast is produced every 2 weeks just for your enjoyment, and the show notes can be found on our page at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline SaaS with 3 S's, or give us a like on Facebook.
And while you're at it, Kaylee wants you to know that you can follow our individual pages. I am at MLM on Instagram and Twitter.
And I am at Miss Krish on Twitter, or at Cakes88 on IG.
If you didn't write these down, don't worry. We've got you covered. All of those can be found in the links on audioboom.com.
Exactly.
Now, so let's
get
sassy.
Woo!
All right, we are starting our Super Bowl segment.
And we are going to cover everything that everyone has already talked about.
Yeah, and some of our own unique insight. Not really, but we don't want to jump ahead and get to all the golf stuff yet. We want to talk a little bit about the last game of the season for the NFL.
Mm,
yeah,
so sad.
I know, football's over. But, you know, the golf and the baseball coming up have really given us stuff to look forward to. So.
Yes. Well, if you were living under a rock on Sunday and you did not see.
I kind of was.
Yeah, you were a little bit. but the Patriots and the Eagles went head-to-head in the final football game of the season.
Yep.
And surprisingly, the Eagles came out on top.
They did.
With a final score of 41-33. The Eagles. Emily, did you see this coming?
I think in our last podcast, we talked about, I think I took the Patriots. I think Jordan took the Eagles. I'm not sure. I don't remember if he did
or not.
I'm
not sure either. But And we'll I know that check. Mine was is that I wanted the Eagles to win, but I was taking the Patriots.
Right. And yeah. Kaylee and I were not watching together. I was actually down here in Pebble Beach already getting ready for this week at the Pro-Am. And we were texting, though, about it. And we were saying that we didn't think the Eagles would win until they really won. Because the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, like, they're all – people talk about how holy they are and how – and they – you know, miracles happen for the Patriots. So up until that last kind of – you know, turnover, I really thought they were going to come back.
Honestly, I didn't realize that the Eagles had won until it literally said final score.
Yeah.
Because even up until the last second, I'm still like, well, the Patriots will find a way to
come
back. Because they always do. They find a way to come back. So it was incredible to see the Eagles win. I was like still shocked. If you follow me on Twitter, you will see how shocked I was.
I was very active on Twitter during this game. I was very proud of her.
It's because I was by myself watching the game.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, isolation is key.
It really was.
What I liked about the Super Bowl is how visually pleasing it was to the eye and how exciting it was. We got to see so much offense, which is great for people who like watching football. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's
so
it's a great fan.
It is, you know, because defense, of course, is important and you need it to win games. But offense is what puts, you know,
points on the board
in the seat and points on the board. Yes. Yep. And the Eagles and the Patriots combined for 1,151 yards.
That's insane.
Which is not only a Super Bowl record, but the most yards the two teams have ever produced in any NFL game, regular or postseason, in the NFL's 98 seasons.
That's insane.
Which is crazy to me.
So it really was like a historic game.
Yeah.
Like, and actually.
How historic is that? The amount of yards prior to this that held the record was 1,133. So they went well above. Mm-hmm. And that game was the Los Angeles Rams and the New York Yanks.
Wow.
In 1950.
Yeah.
So this was the most offensive yards since 1950, which is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A little fun trivia fact for you guys.
Well, I think it was really impressive, the fact that, you know, I think everybody doubted Nick Foles, which he hasn't.
Shout out Arizona.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Who hasn't proven in his career to be a clutch performer, right. And he showed everyone this time.
He really did.
It was that trick play. I know everybody's talked about it, but I was probably sitting there for a good couple minutes because I took it on Snapchat. I don't know why I thought something was going to happen, but I was just like,
feeling.
I did. I really did. And when I watched it, I probably had my mouth open for a good 5 minutes after. Just like, that happened? It was crazy. I thought that was really cool. So my key takeaway from the Super Bowl is going to be invest in a backup quarterback.
Ah,
because,
that's good.
You know, I relate it to the Packers, and they saw what happened with Aaron Rodgers this year when he went down with a collarbone injury. And, I mean, they don't really have a legitimate backup to go to who can carry a team. So I think this kind of proves you want to invest in a backup quarterback who has some legitimacy, even as a starter for maybe not like a long time, obviously, but because they wouldn't stay with the team. But you need to have a good backup quarterback because injuries happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen this more and more over the last few seasons. Yeah. The injuries are huge.
They're real.
Yeah. They're real life.
They really happen. And no, we did not ask Aaron Rodgers about his injury or about football in general.
Because, by the way, we
interviewed
him.
I was getting there.
Okay.
When we interviewed him down here in Pebble, we did not ask him football questions. Kaylee did not. I should mention it was Kaylee who interviewed him. But we decided to steer clear because, A, why are you going to ask Aaron Rodgers what he thought of the Super Bowl? Because he wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And, B, he's not going to tell us what's going on with his collarbone, but he's playing golf
and
so
he seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, he looked like, really good.
Yeah,
so
it must not be hurting him.
We think that he's going to be okay, and he was super nice, so we want to shout out Aaron Rodgers.
Yay.
Because he stopped and gave us, you know, an interview on camera. He talked to us. He
was very nice.
So nice.
Really really
and
nice.
We know this is a hard place for celebrities to be because there's a lot of fans here that kind of swarm them. I mean, Danica Patrick walked right by us and she had literally 5 security guys.
Yeah.
Because people were like chasing her.
Yeah, asking for autographs. And she is a tiny little
she's
person.
So
I didn't realize this. But
I always hear it, but she's very diminutive.
Yeah, she's very small. And so I was even worried. Like, those group of fans weren't coming towards me and I was like stressed out for her.
Yeah.
Like, that must be terrifying. So now I guess I know what celebrities feel like a little bit when they're getting...
Well, you were a celebrity, so...
Well, I wasn't followed around like that.
Well, you know, maybe, but you just didn't see them. Yeah, like, you had, like, secret stalkers, but...
That would be
no,
funny.
It was... So we appreciate him taking the time because we know that they get mobbed down here, and it's been a cool experience. But back to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I'm so happy that the Eagles won, and I have to say that video of the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia group... That was my favorite part of the whole thing. That and Nick Foles' daughter watching the confetti, because that's me anytime there's confetti at a football game.
Yes.
That is me. Mm-hmm. She is like my spirit animal. So Nick Foles' daughter and the It's Always Sunny.
Crow.
And probably the Giselle shots, you know, like the photos and videos of her being super.
This is my favorite. Was... the Eli Manning commercial where they're doing the dirty dancing.
It really was great.
I could not believe it.
But how long do you really think it took him to learn that, though?
I mean, probably.
Like weeks.
Years.
Years.
Maybe.
Longer than it took him to learn how to play quarterback.
Other than that commercial, there was like a couple that I kind of chuckled on, but there really wasn't anything that I was like, oh my God, that was so funny. But that commercial was hilarious. You have to talk about commercials when you talk about the Super Bowl.
I know, but I just really didn't. Like, all I saw, honestly, was the Westworld is coming back in April, and that was all I needed because I did not know if they were. I knew they were going to do another season, but that confirming it, that was great for me.
I know so. We're all over the page here with the Super Bowl talk.
Well, we're only having one segment about the Super Bowl, so we got to hit all the highlights and, you know.
I was going to say that I was also really impressed by the strength of both offensive lines and defensive lines.
Because we talked about that being key in our last podcast. Exactly. And it was absolutely
true. It absolutely was. But it's amazing to see. I think these two teams were so well matched. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that people thought that before seeing the game, because obviously everybody thought that the Patriots would just win. But they really were really well matched. So Green Bay, can we please build around an offensive line?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be nice.
So I should have told Aaron Rodgers that.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
I just want to stay away from all the football stuff. I was impressed with Doug Peterson's coaching and how going against a formidable coach like Chip Kelly can be very scary, I'm sure. And, you know, you're wondering what he's going to throw at you and what he's going to do. But I thought Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Crossing Chip Kelly and Doug for some reason. I thought he took portions of Chip Kelly's playbook and utilized full. And
you think what part of Chip Kelly do you think, like the risk factor, like
taking risks? He just had Foles playing the way that I've seen Chip Kelly quarterbacks play.
Yeah,
like aggressive and like you said, taking risks, but just playing loose, I guess, would be the best way to summarize it.
You know, I heard that during when the analysts were talking about it, that what he did really well with was when Carson Wentz went down and Nick Foles, you know, they knew Nick Foles was going to be the guy. They took Nick Foles' best strengths and utilized those, which I think is an absolute key if you're going to be a great coach. You have to know how to use your players.
I agree. I think in the increased use that we saw of, like, run-pass options, like quick ones, play-action passes, and crossing routes, I thought the way that they utilized that as Nick Foles' strengths and Peterson had those become the forefront of their offense, that is what really drew out their talent.
Yeah.
Like, they were able to do the right things at the right time. And that's kind of like something that Belichick has always done. Like, he's always managed to do that. And I thought I was impressed to see Peterson do it as well. So
interesting.
That's my,
well, I am really happy. The Super Bowl was great. I mean, it was a good Super Bowl this year too.
It
wasn't just like last year was last year just, it was rough. I was not paying attention.
We're pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah. I stopped paying attention by halftime, which I missed a great game at the end, but no, this was a really well matched teams that went up against each other. So it made for a great Super Bowl, and I'm impressed.
I am too. And I don't want to really talk about the Malcolm Butler stuff, 'cause I feel like we've heard so much about that. I don't know what happened. No, I don't know what's going on with
and
that.
They're not gonna, and I mean, unless they have said something.
There's a lot of theories.
Belichick's not going to say anything, so.
He's not. And Malcolm's comment when he was leaving the field, I think he said something like, you know, they blew it or they didn't use me or something weird that was cryptic. But at this point, it's like, just let it lie. Like, it didn't work out. It didn't happen. We can't sit here and say, oh, well, if they had him, it would have been different, because it doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
So I think I'm so sick of hearing about that. But, but I did want to say something about Brandon Cooks, because I've been a huge supporter of him. We've covered him, and that hit was tough. And we talked about this earlier about how, you know, it wasn't an illegal hit. It wasn't an illegal hit, but it looked
illegal.
To me, when I saw it, I was like, oh, for sure. But I understand that all the points you made, you know, and that it wasn't, but
he was a runner at that point, so it doesn't count as head to head because he wasn't a receiver,
but it was brutal and it was hard to see him go down. So that to me was a very scary part and stuck with me. And I'm wishing Brandon Cooks, you know, the best. Hope he gets better.
So
shout out to him. But I think we hit all the highlights for once.
I think we did.
That was
pretty good.
We're pretty cohesive on our own. Sorry, Jordan.
Oh, I'm
just kidding.
Out,
it's this beautiful view that we're sitting here watching the sunset at the 18th hole of Pebble Beach, and I think it's just made us better podcasters
and better people.
Environment matters, guys. It matters. So, shout out to all the podcasters out there. Get outside and do a podcast somewhere exciting, and and creative and stimulating.
I am going to point out that you wanted to stay inside, I so did. You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to point out that there's been a lot of noise out here.
Yeah.
So we really hope that doesn't affect it. But we hope we're getting some ambiance of
They're
what it's
still
like.
Building the grandstands here for the 18th hole. So when we're sitting at the top of it.
Yeah, we are sitting actually on top of the middle grandstand at the 18th hole looking at the water. And so if you get down here for the – well, this will be after probably is over. But this is a good place to watch the action.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, stay tuned. We got more coming at you.
We're going to be talking about our experience here at the Pro-Am, and there are some stories that you're not going to want to miss.
Don't miss out.
Stay tuned.
And we are here on day 4 of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We just finished up round 4 of the finals.
Feels like forever ago that the Super Bowl happened.
It does, especially after this week, because this week
was
so long.
It's been a long week. Golf tournaments are long.
They are very long. So what I was kind of explaining to people, and you can, you know, agree or disagree, but was that, you know, with other sports that we cover, like football, basketball, whatever, it's like go for 5 hours.
Yeah.
But with golf, it's like 14 hours like of stop and go. Yeah, stop and go.
That's a good analogy, I would say.
Okay, good.
But it's also, you know, I think people that cover golf probably have it down better than we do because we were learning as we went. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, overall, really cool experience. We got to see a unique tournament where the winner ended up being a surprise to everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Which is really cool because, I mean, we did really think, too, that it was going to come down to the final hole because everybody kept saying, like, Dustin Johnson will come back, he'll come back, he'll come back.
Yeah.
And he just ended up. And what I think is weird, too, is that Ted Potter Jr. was playing with Dustin Johnson. So the entire way, and I don't think I realized that, like, throughout the day.
Yeah.
But they were on in the same group, so you know, Ted Potter Jr. got to see the mistakes that Dustin Johnson was making.
That's like added pressure for Dustin because you know that you're behind this guy and you're
and
trying
every
to
time he hits, like, you're God just seeing yourself getting further and further away.
That's crazy. And we should have asked our guests who you'll hear next more about that because that's an interesting, but they do say it's mental. So the, you know, this game is
all mental, but
it's all mental.
We did hear from Ted Potter Jr. in his post round interviews saying that
yeah, you want to say post game, but it's like,
I know, I'm like,
his podium interview.
Thank you. that he was just, people were asking him like, oh, what was it like to play with the number one player in the world? And he was just kind of like, it was fine.
He was like, I don't know how to answer that.
I don't really know.
No, he was sweet, and you have to be excited for a guy that has been out and injured. And at some point, one guy even asked him, you know, you were injured and you went pro after high school. So, like, what would you do if you couldn't come back?
What would you have done if you couldn't play again?
What's your life plan? And he didn't really know how to answer that because I don't think anybody thinks about that, you know.
But I mean, when you are injured like that, don't you think at some point you're sitting there thinking, like, if I can't ever play again, what should I do?
I don't think that it's like baseball players, you know, I don't think they ever think about that. The life after. I really honestly think that it's all about what's happening in the moment. And like he said, he's like day by day. Like I literally take it day by day. And that's a good, you know, reference for golf itself because golf is a day by day sport. You can go out and have a terrible day and you can go out the next day and just kill it.
And still
rip
win.
It.
It's nuts. And that's kind of, you know, so Friday, you know, no one had really thought about Ted Potter Jr. Somebody, you know, Dustin Johnson had a great game and a great day and all that. And but then yesterday, Ted Potter just kind of came out of the woodwork. And what people were saying is, he was playing over at MPCC, so it won't be the same as today.
Right.
But today he just continued to grind through it and did really
well. He really took all of the difficulties of today, weather, wind, you know, the putting greens were
– they were on his side.
They were difficult. And he just – muddled through it. Like he handled all of those obstacles well. And he had his eye on the prize, man.
And the $1.3 million prize is
it was fun. I'm glad it was fun to see him win.
That was awesome. And then on the amateur side of things, the group that won was Larry Fitzgerald and his partner
Steelman.
Steelman.
But the cool thing about that is Larry Fitzgerald is the first African-American amateur to be part of the winning Pro-Am team. Mm-hmm. So
that's exciting
for
him.
That was very cool. And we got to see the ceremony after with Clint Eastwood. And all these videos and stuff can be found on our social. So if you go check out Instagram and Twitter, we have videos of the ceremony and, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff. We did interviews with Larry Fitzgerald, who is a wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
As and, of course, Aaron Rodgers.
Our new best friend who we just follow around and get interviews from. But he did tell Kaylee that she had some of the best questions. He really enjoyed her questions. Aww. And he said that again, not only after when she interviewed him, but when I talked to him later, he mentioned it again. So mm-hmm. that was pretty cool. Highlight.
That's definitely, you know, when you are in this industry for as long as we have mm-hmm. been trying to pave our way through,
yeah.
having someone like Aaron Rodgers telling you have good questions kind of reaffirms, like, okay, this is why I do this. Because sometimes I feel like I ask the nothing, like, even with him, because it was like
true.
It was so spur of the moment,
yeah.
like we had no idea it was going to happen, that you always go back afterward and say,
and
oh, I should have asked,
like,
this,
yeah,
or I should have
totally.
Asked that. But I mean, I feel like with him, we killed it this
yeah.
week. I think this was probably one of the better trips we've done when it comes to the amount of content mm-hmm. that we...
Well, it's nice to have the days that
the
we have where
days.
You can put out, you know, different videos and stuff. And if there's anything that you guys think that we left out or just should have done differently, we would love to hear
yeah.
about it on any of our social or email or anything.
Yeah.
Send us
we
a
would
carrier
love,
pigeon.
Yeah.
If you just send it here and let us know, you know, if there was something that we could have done different.
Yeah,
so.
Or if you have, you know, advice on how to do it better next time. We're ready to hear it.
We'll be open to listening.
Mm-hmm. We want to start covering, you know, more golf. I think
we had
a lot of fun.
Like it.
So
it was cool. We'll have to check it out. And it was exciting.
It was a really great experience. And thank you to the PGA Tour for, you know, letting us be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And
everyone that worked the tournament was fantastic.
They were awesome.
They made it really easy to do a good job. So,
yeah.
So
shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them.
All right, everyone. Up next, we have the very funny, hilarious, jack of all trades.
Yeah, truly.
ESPN golf writer.
Golf analyst.
Oh, man. He would kill me.
He would kill you. I'm going to tell him that you
so
said that.
So let me start over. Amazingly funny. Spectacular human being.
Yes.
ESPN golf analyst Michael Collins up next.
He's going to share some stories about his experience as a caddy on the tour, all of his friends and his quote-unquote bandmates who you'll hear about, and his stories are some of my favorite we've ever had, so you really need to stick around and hear this next segment. Or else. All right, guys, we are back. You've heard our experience at Pebble Beach, the Pro-Am, everything we went through. Now we've brought in someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
Who actually knows what they're doing.
He is a
former... Called in the Coast Guard, got the helicopter to come rescue
backup.
Y'all.
Yep.
The
former comedian.
Made sure you didn't get arrested. Pulled y'all out the back of a cop car.
You don't even want... You do your own intro.
My picture's up now. This is jacked up. Why I got to be in the post office? I tried to save y'all.
I'd like to hear, you know, I don't even need to be here.
Yeah.
Can you intro yourself?
I mean,
former comedian, you must have
20 years stand-up comedian, 10 years caddy on the PGA Tour, and now 5 years with ESPN.
Golf analyst.
Yeah, Sirius XM before, Golf Ooh. Channel stuff, and yeah. So originally ESPN called me a writer. So they go senior golf writer, and I'm like, yeah, you better not do that, because...
People are going
to
get
I
mad
flunked
at you.
High school English. I still type with two fingers, and I never went to college. There's dudes in the media center. They got, like, Pulitzer Prizes and stuff.
You got to hit them with your name.
They can type without even looking. My name's Michael Collins.
You said all this stuff, and no one's going to know. See,
I know. It's pretty funny.
Anyways,
I
Michael.
Like doing radio and podcast stuff because then I'm 6'1 and skinny. You know what I mean?
That's
yeah.
why
got
we
the
do
voice.
It too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like the radio.
I used to hear
stuff.
That a lot. When I did SiriusXM, people would be like, oh, that dude sounds tall,
oh,
handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'd pay $3.99 a minute for that dude to talk for me, bro. I'll put people to sleep.
You do have a very soothing voice. I think when I first started talking to you, I was like, oh, this guy calms me. My nerves here. I felt less
frazzled. Then you see me do an interview and get goofy with my friends. Oh, start giggling and having
a good time.
Which
is so much fun. But we were just talking about the fact that he's really good at reading people.
Yes.
So maybe he sensed that you were frazzled and uptight, and he needed
uptight.
To
you
yeah.
did have a look
no
on
one
your
has
face
ever
like
called
I don't
me uptight.
Quite understand
no.
why. No, not uptight would not be the right word.
Thank you.
But I would say a little confused.
A little bit. Fish out
like,
of water.
I don't
sure.
understand. What? Who am I supposed
yeah.
to talk to?
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to ask him?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, so to give background, we met Michael when we were, I guess you don't even call it backstage, behind the ropes, behind the.
We're behind 18 Green where the scoring area is.
Right.
Scoring area.
And
yeah.
that is where you go to talk to the players after they're done.
Yep.
And Michael had his little stand up.
I'm a one man band.
He really had it going. So I was like, I'm going to go near this guy and
this
then
guy looks
get
like
people
he knows
after
stuff.
They go here. So that's how we got our.
He's
got
to be doing it right because he doesn't have any help.
Yeah. He was talking to Aaron Rodgers. He was talking to Larry Fitzgerald. So I was like, I'm going to get over here.
When
and
I
do
first
that.
Started hanging out at tournaments, people used to say that a lot because I didn't even have credentials or nothing. And they'd be like, hey, does that guy have a badge? But like, nah, but he knows everybody. So you better
so
not
it didn't matter.
You might as well just leave him alone. He knows everybody up there. So
awesome. First let's do the like business stuff. So like talk about what happened at the tournament. Yeah. Were we surprised with the winner, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll get into the band stories and the basketball. And cool. You have a lot to look forward to, so don't tune out of the podcast.
Don't fast forward this part. You're not going to want to miss it.
So were you surprised, like a lot of people, with the winner?
What?
I asked you this earlier.
Yeah. When DJ is up near the top of the lead, look, you have a leaderboard that had Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, John Rahm was up there, and Mickelson was there. There was not one person on Saturday night was like, yo, Ted Potter, check it out. My man's coming. Like,
Ted Potter Jr.
Yeah.
I
and
like
the
it.
Other thing, too, was like Ted Potter had a great round on Saturday, but it was over at Monterey Peninsula Country Club.
So no one's seeing it, really.
Yeah. And the other thing, most of the time, the guys who win played here Saturday, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
From what I notice is guys make really good adjustments to golf course. So if you get a guy to play 2 days in a row, that second day, he's going to be like, I got this course figured out. Well, you know, amateurs don't do that. They say, I got it figured out. And then you just hear them dropping F-bombs, throwing their clubs over a cliff, right? Where pros, they really do figure stuff out.
Yeah.
So as great as Ted Potter's round was on Saturday at Monterey Peninsula Country Club, no one was really thinking, all right, that's the man to beat.
Right, and that's why this was so fun, I think.
Yeah.
We walked in not knowing too much, but we had read people saying Jason Day, you know, you've got all these other people. We talked to Axley, whatever his
Eric
name is.
Axley.
We talked to him, and he said he was going to win. Mm-hmm. He told us he was going to win it. So.
Okay, every golfer
they
better
say
that
right?
before they play. Yeah.
I don't know. He seemed very confident.
He did seem very
confident. Well, Ax is like, that's my homie, too, but he's going to tell you he's winning Powerball on Tuesday, too, so don't believe it.
So who surprised you from the amateur standpoint that did well?
Larry Fitzgerald, who won with Kevin Streelman. He's a 13 handicap now, and he's coming off of an NFL season.
Yeah.
And he's been playing a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, wide receivers get beat up pretty good in the NFL.
That's true.
But he's... One, stayed healthy for a long time.
He's
only been playing golf for 4 years.
Like ever?
Yes. Like he just learned how to play the game 4 years ago.
That's just being athletic.
Hey, that's the addiction of the sport, though.
So he just went and just did it.
You can't stop. I tell people all the time, golf is more addicting than heroin. No, at least if you want to quit heroin, there's an 800 number you can call.
You can do that for golf.
For golfers anonymous.
You're not going to call an 800 number and be like, yeah, I got my clubs in the car. I'm going to go play 36. Sit down. Let's talk. Maybe you just go hit half a bucket at the driving range instead. No, I got to play. I can't. Someone stop me.
That's so funny because like
it's true.
People
That's,
say it's hard to get
that.
Started though. So you're saying
once you hit that perfect shot, there's a reason. Think about this.
It's like a high.
You ever see an NFL player go play hockey?
No.
Even for fun?
No.
You ever see like
nobody plays hockey for
That's
fun.
What I'm saying. Like you ever see a hockey player go play baseball just for kicks?
No.
Nah, but every athlete in every other sport, guess where they all end up coming to?
Mm-hmm. They all
think about
golf.
The entertainment industry.
Well, like apparently everyone wants to play basketball, though. So
everybody thinks they can play basketball.
We'll clearly get to that.
Yeah, everybody thinks that. Even we'll them dudes that are like 5'5 and 230. Yeah, you taking Ray Allen to the hole. Okay, sure you are. Unless it's a food trough,
see,
we got no
I would
chance.
Pay good money to see
I
this.
Would.
So, I mean, anyways, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah.
That Larry did have a great tournament, and he's such a nice guy.
He is a very nice guy. But
and
let me
so
ask.
So many guys who made the cut, the amateurs, so the celebrities, Alfonso Ribeiro,
right.
Colt Ford, Justin Verlander, they had never made the cut before.
Right, and that's what Colt
so
was saying.
So the fact of them, four times for Alfonso, four times for Colt, and having never made the cut before, to be able to do that out here.
Finally play on Sunday.
And that's,
you know,
for the amateurs, like, that is Valhalla.
Yeah.
Wow. Alfonso, he dropped the Carlton dance on the 18th hole.
Well,
I don't
yeah,
know
he,
if you saw it.
You know, how can you not?
I didn't think you.
What am I going to say? Because I'm Uncle Phil. Everybody thinks I'm going to be I'm the second coming to Uncle Phil. Even Alfonso, when I first told him that,
his eyes got
so big, was like, yo.
Well, it's funny because, like, now you say it, now I can't see anything else.
Right. I know.
So thanks.
Oh, my bad.
I just didn't think you would do it.
That's all right. When I shaved this off and just got the goatee, if I put a hat on, people think I'm Darius Rucker. My first nickname on the PGA Tour when I first went out there was Little Hootie.
That's
the
hilarious.
First nickname I ever had.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, me and him have had this running joke. Every time we see each
take
other,
like a
I'm like, hey, man, what's your dad's
picture
name
together.
Again? Have you ever met your dad?
That's so funny. You know, that's so you just basically related to everybody. Like you.
Kind of, yeah.
You're also like Scottish or
Irish.
Irish, you said.
Irish,
yeah.
Michael Collins.
There
yeah.
we go.
I'm black Irish, get drunk and carjack myself.
There you go. So you have it all covered.
Yeah, I got everything.
You got it figured out here.
Yeah. I got to go to United Nations and hook up with girls.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this handicap because, like we've said, we don't cover golf regularly.
We just thought he was doing really good.
So when it comes to his handicap, so what does that 13 handicap mean? So he gets 13 strokes on top of whatever he does? Okay.
So basically, when you look at a scorecard, every hole is ranked from the hardest, which is the number one handicap, to the easiest, the 18th.
Okay.
If you're a 13 handicap, then you get one extra stroke on the 13 hardest holes.
Oh.
Okay.
So when he played like number 8,
mm-hmm.
he was getting a stroke on that hole. So if he makes a par, it's a par, but then he gets an extra stroke.
Yeah.
Now he made a birdie.
Interesting.
So it's called getting a pop. So that's what he was doing. You get 13 pops.
Interesting. Okay.
So
all right.
The better that golfer sense. That you are, the less strokes you need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you're going to have more chances for birdie.
Yeah.
You know?
So now why wouldn't everybody be like, oh, I'm a 18 handicap?
Well, no, because every time you play, you have to put your score in.
Uh-huh.
If you're a member of a golf club,
right.
You have to post the score.
Mm-hmm.
And that score has to be verified. So you can't just go out there and shoot 100 with nobody's around. You know, I shot 100 yesterday and 68. The next day it was magic. I don't know what happened. It's like a new guy.
Yeah. So I don't think that we would.
That's called sandbagging.
Yeah.
So now the funny thing is with Larry, he's only been playing for 4 years, so he's a legit 13 handicap. Mm. But he played out of his mind this week.
Yeah.
He did. Okay.
Because of that, next year when he comes back, he's not getting 13.
What do you get? What does he get then?
He'll probably get 8, maybe 8. It all well. The other
It'll
thing too is, if he retires and doesn't play football this year, all he's gonna
do is play golf.
Yeah. So his handicap is gonna plummet.
I didn't realize he was such an avid golfer. I would have asked him.
He plays golf during the season.
That's what people
That's what
say, and I just didn't realize that. But I wish I had asked him where he's shot his best game. And where his favorite course is, like, just in general.
Well,
because everyone says
well,
he here.
It had to have been Spyglass.
Yeah, well,
he played incredible over there.
He did.
These don't count because it was during a tournament.
Right. Okay,
so it's not like you're just out playing for fun with your friends.
But he's played out here probably for fun before. Like,
I don't know.
No? See, I wish I had asked him these things.
Yeah.
Hindsight, man.
It's all right. And the club that he's a member of, there's a lot of pros that are members there. Whisper Rock.
Whisper
in Scottsdale,
Rock.
Arizona.
I've never actually heard of that one.
Extremely private club, but really cool. Huh. Phil Mickelson designed one of the golf courses. I think there's 3 courses there now.
He designed it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. I'm learning something
new. I don't know why I look at you all the time like we're on video.
Now I'm going to
be. I always look at her during podcasts like.
we're recording, I have to engage with her, but
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, but you got to do that to know who's asking the next question.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why. No, you look at each other like, you're going to do it? Or
usually
no?
Just.
Well, yeah, she'll that'll happen talking. Too.
We have a good give and take. She just knows when I'm about to butt in. And
she just knows when she's going to give, you're taking it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's how this relationship works.
It really is.
It's, you know, it's taken us 3 years like this, so.
People think we've known each other a long time, but we met on the sideline of a Rose Bowl. Yep. About two.
Just randomly on the sideline.
Yep.
So
we
had
we were before the game.
We were both covering Stanford, mm-hmm. and we had seen each other around at Stanford games, just like seeing each other.
Yeah. The girls are wary in sports. They're
in
very
this industry.
Wary of each other, especially ones that are on camera and that are not on camera. We're not usually.
It's like radio and TV.
Yeah. It's like we don't. No, I'm a writer. Like
TV
I'm not.
People,
I'm not.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm usually very wary because sometimes they can be mean. And I'm not, I'm super over the top friendly, probably mm-hmm. scary friendly, where they either think I'm like hitting on them or like.
At least you're not a close talker then.
You know that's true.
So
no.
Just up in somebody's grill like, hey, how you doing? Where are yeah. you from?
But,
what are you doing?
I was so, I'm just, I'm actually not going to, I'm not going to say that. But
okay.
We were at the Rose Bowl. I had been out to New Year's Eve the night before. She did not. So
she, you were hurting and she wasn't.
She looked great.
And
I
you.
Was struggling. And I was like, hey, can you just help me like walk around this?
Hey, do you
like,
have any Pepto?
For me, that was my first Rose Bowl. So
yeah.
I was like, where can I go? Where mm-hmm. am I allowed to stand?
And
what am I allowed
before.
To do? And she had been there before. So
yeah.
we like held on to
we
each other
literally
for dear
just
life.
Started the team then. And
that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people always assume, like people think we're often related as well. But my family's kind of like adopted her anyway as our...
Yeah.
That's very
it's pretty
cool.
cool. We don't you don't see a lot of friendships between like partnerships like this between someone who does broadcasting and someone who writes. Writers tend to be very reclusive, mm-hmm. lonesome people.
Bitter.
Yeah, I would say that. Absolutely.
Kind of bitter.
Yeah.
No.
And I figured out why. I always wonder like why so many writers always seem so mad mm-hmm. all the time. And I figured it out. It's because especially golf writers, oh my gosh. There are some angry golf writers.
It's a charged
why?
Environment.
It's because, so when I was doing stand-up comedy, all I cared about was me. Like, I just got to worry about me. That's it. When you're caddy, I only got to worry about one guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get to the course an hour and a half before mm-hmm. we tee off. We go, do what we got to do. Go play, do what we got to do. Finish, get practice a little bit, eat. We're leaving.
Yeah.
If you work in media for a golf tournament, you are there
14
when
hours,
some
maybe?
Of the first dudes tee mm-hmm. off, and you ain't leaving until
guy.
Like the like until a guy wins.
Yep.
And
then
you
plus
might,
3 hours.
Right.
Probably,
so like this is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Couple of guys, I'm sure today started. We got right Dustin Johnson. They probably started last night with Dustin Johnson.
Yeah,
we
got to
write the whole
time,
story.
Man.
And it's
7-12.
Right.
Yeah,
and you
I'm
get
like,
to the golf course and you're
we
like,
said no.
Wait. Ted Potter's winning. I got to delete the whole damn thing. This is bull.
Yeah.
Like dudes are going to freak out. Yeah. So
but that's why I don't write my leads or start writing until it's over.
You're
which
smart.
Could, but it's more work for me. But I'm the kind of person, like, I will just dial in. So once it's over, I have this, I just go in.
She's
I
also,
can't write it as I go.
She's also a jinx. So if she were to start writing something, no matter what,
guarantees
it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have the pressure of, I like to go out afterwards, so I'm like, okay, I can't dilly-dally here. We got to get this done. I'm not going to be in the press box till 2 in the morning because the bars will close.
You got to be there before last call.
Yeah. And that's hard in places, some places. So.
Especially when Stanford's playing because they always end up going until midnight.
It's a whole other animal. But anyway, so that's our little
That's our story.
Spiel.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's transition. We talked about the golf portion of it, which is fine.
We
now,
talked about work.
Yeah, we did.
That
we talked
good.
About work.
We got work out the way.
Now we want to hear.
Still doesn't seem like it was that bad.
You formed.
That's the funny thing, too. You got to admit, like.
No, that was, yeah.
For all those people, and I am so sorry for y'all, too. Like, I thought Office Space was a joke movie. I didn't think it was real.
No, it's very real.
Right,
for
that's what
me.
Some of my friends, they, like, sit in cubicles.
I know.
For 8 to 10 hours a day.
It's true.
And it's like.
So
you know
we
what?
Can't complain.
I'm
no.
not ever. You ain't never going
to sometimes
have me bitching about work comparatively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I already know I am the luckiest dude in the history of the universe.
You are, especially because you have such great friends.
Yeah.
And I get
friends
paid to goof off with them
exactly.
on camera.
And that's nice. What's so fun.
Right.
So we.
That's why you're mentoring us, because we want to be
there. We want to be at that level. Or at least it's harder, but because we're girls. So
I'm going to turn bitter if y'all get my job. Like, if I get fired and I see y'all on ESPN, I'd be like,
we wouldn't even. I wouldn't take it. I'd be like, no.
I thought,
disrespect.
Never.
Then
never.
I'll be that writer.
You're going to have to learn how to type with full hands.
No, yeah. It'll just take me longer until that book comes out.
You better hope you're not on deadline. You got to get a handicap for the deadline.
That's what I mean. My editor. I mean, like, I need an editor who's not afraid. I'm a 12 handicap when it comes to typing.
That's awesome.
All right, well, so explain to us how this boy band came about and who's in it.
All right. So, last year, I was fortunate enough to be invited to play in a web.com tour pro-am that's okay. similar to Pebble Beach. It was called the BMW Pro-Am, mm-hmm. and it's in South Carolina. And
awesome.
A couple of the other celebrities that played in it was Aaron Rodgers, Larry the Cable Guy, and Colt Ford.
Such a good group.
Yeah. So Larry, I mean, his name's Dan. I've known Dan forever.
Do you call him Dan?
Like it feels weird calling him Larry the Cable Guy.
We can't just call him Larry?
Because it's a character. Like,
you
it's
have
not,
to say Larry the Cable Guy?
Well, if you're going to call him by his character's name,
yeah,
it'd be weird not to. I think. I don't know.
I don't know. Because I feel like if he goes by Larry.
Not the whole band. But like, just think of Darius Rucker.
Okay.
So I'm not going to call him Hootie.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? And like, if you know Darius and his band.
Yeah.
If you knew the guys, Hootie and the Blowfish, yeah. when you see him backstage, you're not going to be, hey, Hootie, that was a great set. Yo, Blowfish, can you grab your beer? Like,
I mean, you could.
You could, but you're probably not going to be hanging out with them
right,
very
that's
long.
Fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fair.
Did that little mother just call me the Blowfish? What did he call? He knows my
but,
name.
Okay, but those are weirder names. If your character's named Larry
or Bob,
the Cable Guy, like Bob the Builder, like
yeah,
you're really
like
going to go around saying.
Here's a perfect example. Alfonso.
Okay.
I don't call him Carlton.
Well, yeah.
But a lot of people
I feel like
do.
A lot of people. Well,
like
yeah,
fans.
They
fans.
Only
but
know
he's
him
not
as
that
character
anymore. But correct. Larry the Cable Guy is technically still. Isn't that like
well,
a
Well, then why
persona?
Wouldn't I call him Mater?
I don't know.
Like, I love the movie Cars. I'm not going to be Mater. And he does. I will say that
would
dude.
He get
is
mad?
Like, he's no. Because oh, he's the most beautiful person.
We didn't get to meet him. We were going to go to his show.
I love that guy. And he is so amazing with people. And one of those guys who's just funny to just sit around and chat
yeah.
with anyway.
Yeah,
so, but and that's the thing. So,
Larry,
I know Colt. I know Dan, Larry the Cable Guy, and Aaron uh-huh. Rodgers. We were all at this little function dinner, and we came outside and we're standing out front. And I was like, I just thought to myself, like, this is the weirdest, most eclectic group of people
yeah.
ever. Other than like, I did stand up, and Dan does stand up, but I was like. All right, this NFL quarterback looks like an Adonis. And I go, hey, man, let's take a picture together. And they're all, yeah, yeah, sure. So we take this picture.
We got to find this photo.
And I told him, I'll show it to you. It's on Instagram. But afterwards, I was like, hey, man, make sure you check my Instagram. Because I put this, and I put the picture up. And I was like, starting a boy band, we need a name.
Did you get some good names?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure.
So the best part was I had never really met Aaron before. Mm-hmm. But the next day, I see him coming out the hotel, and he was like, hey, man, did you see Instagram? We got some great names. And I was like, what?
He's like rolling with it.
Yeah. And I was, and from that moment on, I was like, I dig this dude. Mm-hmm. And then I spent some time with him, and we chatted and all kinds of stuff. And both of us are, you know, golf-loving maniacs.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah.
Well, Colt Ford told us that Aaron Rodgers is the bass player.
So this time, and Colt missed the picture. This year, we were at the par three on Wednesday, and all of the band members were there. So I was like, hey, we need to get a picture together, but we all need to be playing air instruments.
Yeah.
Because we still don't have a name for the band.
Yeah.
And
or
like,
positions, it sounds like.
Well, kind of.
Because Colt said that he's the front man.
No.
Oh, he did say that.
I know he probably said that.
So that's what I'm saying. It
seems
like
he's
there's
lying.
A little...
Well, you know what? He got pipe dreams about a lot of stuff, which we get into as well.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
Colt Ford's pipe dream could be its own
a memoir.
Episode.
Oh, what? This dude, that's a reality show waiting to happen, having him doing all this stuff.
I'm surprised he doesn't have one yet.
I know. So Aaron says he wants to be the bass player.
Okay.
Cool.
He did say that. That's
Dan,
what Colton.
Larry the Cable Guy is going to be the front man, so he's doing the singing, and I'm playing the drums.
Can he sing?
Well,
I'm just curious if he has a voice.
Does that matter in a boy band, really?
I'm just curious.
Like, come on.
Especially this one.
Thank you.
Especially this one.
Justin Timberlake could sing.
In any boy bands.
Justin Timberlake could sing, and okay. He was the front man of NSYNC, technically. He was the guy that everyone was like, this guy.
It wasn't until afterwards that he became the man.
I think he was the one that everyone.
When NSYNC first came out, it wasn't like, you know how many.
Name any of the other guys, though. It's like he was the guy that all
Lance
the
Bass.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello.
Name another one.
And he was like the heartthrob, too.
Kind of. And
how
then
about Joey? I just saw Joey.
Joey Fatone.
All right. I just seen him not too long. He was at the Players Championship.
He seems like he would be a good band member. Now, like.
That's what I'm saying. There was no front man in NSYNC. You know why there was no front man? Because everybody had their, oh, I like Joey. Oh, I like Justin. Oh, yeah.
So you guys are hoping that people are going to just pick their favorite, like, for different reasons. Like, you're going to appeal.
What boy band does that not happen?
That's true.
That's the point.
Yeah.
We're just the full Monty version of that, except for this one skinny, good-looking dude. Whatever with him.
Whatever.
But you guys will
put him in
the
back.
That's why I'm behind the drums, because he'd be like, I can't tell if he's skinny or not. He'd be like, yeah, just keep hitting
cymbals.
And
then you could
make my drum kit bigger.
Yeah, there you go. That's smart.
So you could do tricks with the drum.
The sticks,
like,
yeah. So it looks like you're super talented.
I'm just throwing sticks in the air, but I'm going to be
playing. And grabbing new ones.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a stick in the air. It'll probably hit me in the head. I don't care.
You got it figured out.
Yeah, see?
I like it, but. What is he doing
so
in the
Colt band? At the picture he left even after I was like, don't leave until we take a band picture again. Alright, and then he dips off and he's gone. So that's why when he was like, he's the front man, nah man, you
he wasn't there for the
he wasn't the band meeting where you decided all this stuff.
All right,
I found out was he was going to try and schedule some court time.
So tell us more about
this
court
time.
That's
why he dipped, because he's got this ridiculous dream of playing in the NBA.
I think it's great.
I think it's amazing.
He's 5'6", maybe. Probably 235.
But he said he's going to get in shape, so.
We both are in shape. Me and him stand next to each other look like the 00. Like, come on. You know what I mean? It's not going to.
Someone gave him a contract, he would get in shape.
He plays basketball with some friends of his. Now, he's got some ball. He's got ball handling skills. 4'5", 6", fat dude, right? But that's like, you're not NBA skilled, okay?
Okay.
And
his
theory is.
Yes, his theory is sound.
His theory, I understand.
It's pretty sound.
And the theory is, there are guys in the NBA that are making almost, $2 million a year and averaging 1.1 to 1.2 points per game for the year.
Which is. Not a lot of points.
He thinks he can do that.
But my question is, how many games do you think he would have to play to get 2 points? Like, how many tries is it going to take him? Because he's not going to play a lot of minutes.
No, because here's his theory. He ain't playing defense.
No defense.
So what NBA coach is going to be like, hey, man, let's play 5-on-4 for a while and just put our short fat dude by the three-point line.
Because if he got good at shooting, he would be like a...
Stop it, because you're starting to go. Don't go there.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Here's the problem. You don't understand the speed of the game. So let's say he's standing by the three-point line.
I don't even say three-pointer. Let's say he's right outside the key, like close.
No, he's got to be at the three-point line.
Why?
This is why. Because if he's right outside the key, by the time someone catches the rebound and throws the outlet pass, have you ever seen all five NBA players on one team just standing under the basket?
No.
One of them's already up by the top of the key.
He's just got to catch and shoot.
But he has to catch.
Thank you. And then he has to turn and shoot. And now, have you ever seen Joel Embiid in person?
Yes. I cover Kansas. So.
Cool. So you know, three strides, he's there.
That's what I'm saying, is that we have to pick a team. So it's got to be strategic. It's got to be a team that is not as good and is notoriously slow. And then you put him in for those minutes. He gets his 2 points.
You're putting him on a team that's already slow?
No. When his team plays one of the bad teams.
Yeah, but that's – we just said over a whole season.
Yeah.
So you're saying now if you only put him in against the bad teams, he's got to get 20.
He has to get 20 points a game.
I thought he said he's got to average –
There are 82 games. Yeah.
So he's not going to play in all of them. Well, I'm confused here. So what's he trying to do?
He thinks he is, though, I think.
He wants to average 1.2 points a game in an NBA season.
Okay, but that's based on how many games. So, but he's saying all the games.
One season is 82 games.
Okay, but I was assuming he wouldn't play in all the games, average it in...
Which means then the games that he doesn't play, yeah. How many points he get?
Zero.
Right.
So if he only plays, if he plays one game and then doesn't get any points in two more games,
he's
going to have to hit a three in one of them games. Yeah. And okay. Now, if, what happens in the game he don't score? Now he's got to get six.
I see what you're saying. I was thinking
15.
I was thinking differently about this.
And this is the dude who ain't playing defense.
Yeah.
So your coach is be like, all right, we're getting it. You know what, Colt? Get in there. We lose about 40. Like,
well, that's not a bad. This seems impossible.
Listen, yes. And this is what I told him. This is, look, I would not be your friend if I told you, oh yeah, man, you can do it. Like, no.
So you're saying Aaron's not his friend?
Aaron? I said Aaron is a bandmate.
Aaron Rodgers told him that he believes in him. Yeah. For the record.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man, you can do it.
Yeah. Whereas I talked to an NBA Hall of Famer, Ray Allen, who also knows Colt. And looked dead in the camera and just shook his head. Was like, not going to happen. It's like, what's that line from Top Gun? Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full. Because he's like, there's dudes already in the NBA that could be superstars, but they just don't get a chance or don't get in the right system. And those dudes are the ones sitting in the bench.
Yeah.
Like, you going to be?
Right.
I understand. Can you imagine? What, you put a headband on, you thought Will Ferrell looked ridiculous coming off the bench.
Oh, semi-pro. Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
What I think is unstoppable about Colt Ford, though, is that he thinks he can do anything.
He's committed to it. He's the best at everything.
Yeah. So
he wants to make this happen.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yes.
Yeah, well, look, and Kaylee will tell you.
Kevin Hart is never getting on stage with the Eagles when they win.
I'll
be the first to admit, listen, if I don't come up to Zach Ertz's shoulder, I'm not even going to try and walk on that stage either. Like, yeah. I'm not going to fake it.
No.
I'm someone's cousin. No, you're
not. But he'd been drinking, so he had some courage going in there.
Who gave him the mic afterwards? He was like, hey, you know what would be a good idea? Let's give this drunk comedian who likes dropping F-bombs a microphone.
Yeah.
And have
him
talk to people. Like, we ain't had the parade yet.
That's funny.
Oh, that's
well,
awesome.
Kaylee's family has their own history with Colt Ford.
So my dad and my stepmom live in the same community that he does in Georgia.
What's the city called?
In Watkinsville.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But apparently, so I texted my dad. He was like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, oh, interviewed Colt Ford today. He's like, you know that he lives in our neighborhood. I was like, yeah, I do know. Thank you.
Thanks, Dad.
And, but he was like, oh, I think they maybe moved. So
maybe they moved.
Yeah.
But yeah, so tell him why.
So I was telling him because when I was out there for Thanksgiving, he showed me the house and stuff, and like cars are parked diagonally. Like there's these giant trucks that are just like super loud,
souped
you know?
Up
so
and
he was maybe the nemesis of
menace
the
of the neighborhood.
The menace
the
of
menace
he was one of those everybody
we
was
can't
hoping
confirm.
That he didn't pay his dues. Yeah. Like, his community dues. Because
it's like
time.
A nice place.
Yeah, and it's funny because even my parents will get little like notices like, oh, your lawn isn't trimmed enough or something like that. I was like, Colt probably has a drawer full of those
like throwing
things.
Them in there.
Just going to throw these in there.
As he probably mows those things and then puts them out.
What was there? Was there a basketball hoop in that driveway of that house? Do you remember?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That would tell us if he had been there practicing or if he didn't live there.
Even if the basketball hoop was there, apparently the monster trucks was blocking it off.
They probably would.
Like, and he thinks he just, because he can swish over a monster truck, I'm ready
then
for the NBA.
He can get over anybody. This is gold.
I need to get some Jordans.
I want
to
do that.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to need some help. Oh, you need help, all right.
I want to talk to everyone in this story because I want to do a story about this. I want to talk to each bandmate individually, not with anyone else around, and I want to get the real, the rub. So
the
hopefully we can. And then I think that ESPN should give this guy. I mean, they have a show right now about a guy from UK or wherever trying to find his football team.
Let me tell you something.
Why
we
can't
put
Colt Ford have a
on TV? So
yeah, why can't Colt Ford have a show
Colt
trying to
TV
find his basketball team?
I don't know, finding no team.
Hoop dreams, man.
You know
man.
Where I want to see him? You know what? Send him to like I don't know where they at, Kazakhstan or somewhere. Where's the balls playing?
Yeah,
send
in
him with them kids. He can play in that league.
Over where
there.
Is that too?
Yeah.
Somewhere that would be
wait.
Like
you
Latvia.
Yeah,
I believe.
You tell him to hit the showers in like Latvia. some Uzbekistan or wherever over there. So.
Why can't he play in like a D league?
He playing the G or F league maybe? Yeah. I don't know. He ain't playing no G league though. He'll take anything. He's
I just can't wait. I hope this happens. But that was one of the highlights today. I was talking to him, yep. And you can find that interview with Kaylee over at the Social Side.
Mm-hmm. Sideline Sass with three S's.
Yep.
It's been an awesome weekend. We have learned a lot about golf. A lot. Uh-huh. Probably more than we ever thought we needed to know.
You know me.
But yeah. Now I'm thinking, like, I need to pick up this game quickly so that I can be a celebrity in the Pro-Am. So
we're going to start practicing.
I need to be a celebrity first.
Have you ever played
before? I have been to the driving range.
And?
I could be better. No,
did
I'm
you
a
make contact?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
there you go.
Yes. And I've actually won money playing golf.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So, okay. So I went to Cal State Fullerton.
And you ain't even been on a course yet.
Yeah, I know. I went to Cal State Fullerton, and the business department threw a golf tournament every year to raise money for Cal State Fullerton. And that was at Torrey Pines. And so, yeah.
Beautiful course.
Uh-huh.
I finally got to play there this year.
Nice.
I played in the Pro-Am.
Yeah.
I got to play
amazing.
The Farmers Insurance.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we didn't know that.
Played with Ricky Fowler.
Bury the lead, why don't you?
Yeah,
we had no idea.
That's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, so we were there, and I'm at one of the holes, just guys are going through and putting and doing all their stuff. And so these guys come back, and they're like, have you guys hit? There was like four girls there. Have you guys hit anything today? And we're like, oh, no, we're working. Like, we're not playing. And And so he gets out of his golf cart, and he puts the ball down. He hands us the club. He's like, who's going first? And we're like, oh, no, like, we can't. Like, we're not good. And he's like, no, $20 to whoever makes it to the green.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, All right. I'm going.
So you did
so
it?
So I did it.
Did they all do it? Or
and
just
it made it we to the
And I made it to the green. That's Nobody awesome. Else made it to the green.
You were the only one.
I was so excited.
She's super determined.
And I got $20. But I'm a quick study. So, like, I need someone to show me what to do, what I'm doing wrong.
Actually, and I told you. Simple as this. Someone teach you the proper grip.
Yep.
And alignment.
Yep.
Once
we have
you
a
got that.
Mm-hmm.
You're good.
I need it.
We
I'm
have
ready.
A pro at the club. Yeah. We're members of MPCC. So we have a pro there that teaches myself and my sister, and he will teach you if you want to come, but I will not go back because he called me mentally resistant, and I was just like,
it's just my
flip my club, and I was like,
favorite thing.
Yeah,
her sister and
I've been playing
I
golf
like,
since high school. I'm not good, but I've been playing with my dad, and when I was younger I was a little better because I was more into it, and I haven't done it in a while. So I was at the driving range just hitting, and the guy is trying to give us lessons. He's like, correcting my grip, which is fine, but then he goes, you know, you're mentally resistant. My sister died on the ground laughing at me. And I said, you know what? That's a day. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Enough. Like, what? How is that helpful to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have asked
what am
them,
I supposed
like,
to do? Take my brain out and, like, put it on the
tip?
Table? For
what kind
yeah,
of swing
I have no idea. So then he saw me in the club, the pro shop the other day, and he's like, oh, I remember you. And he said it all over again. And it was like PTSD, and I had to leave again.
He said, again, you're mentally
resistant.
Yeah,
he's resistant. Like, hey, yeah, I'm very memorable, apparently. So
if
that,
you...
I'll give you that.
No, thank you.
Yeah. If you...
So I quit.
If you know her well, you know that he is completely accurate.
I was just going to say...
She's mentally resistant.
I'm kind of thinking
someone
that
explain to me what that means.
He might have actually just hit a little nerve right there.
That's why.
Like, you don't even know me. How does he know me?
This guy's
I don't say that, but like he's giving my mom like good advice, like my sister is like, and then that's what I got. So it's
well,
like,
you know why? If he gave you a tip for how to change your grip, and you did it, swung once, and then went right back to the way you were swinging before.
I did not do that though.
I'm gonna say you're lying. Just why? Can you tell? I did not.
I don't.
Do
I mean,
that
I don't. I wouldn't do it on purpose, but. If you're saying by accident,
you didn't do it on purpose. You mean you're mentally resistant?
Look, so, but it's something I can't control. How am I supposed to fix it? Like, if it's just
open
your
Charles
mind.
Marcus, let me tell you something. When it comes to the golf swing, that's the thing that makes this game so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is that it looks so easy.
Yeah.
And the ball's just
it really does.
It's just sitting right there.
Yeah.
All I gotta do is hit it, just chip it to the thing. Mm-hmm. It's stupid. Like, this is the stupidest. It's the most ridiculous game ever. And then you try and do it.
And you can't. And then you get really
pissed.
And once
you have a bad habit,
Yeah.
Trying to get that bad habit out is a mental burr. It's just, it's maddening. It's maddening.
Yeah.
No, so. I think that's why I haven't taken up golf yet is because I'm such a perfectionist that I know I'm not going to start out good.
And you have a temper.
So like, yeah, and I have a temper. So, yeah, because this is what's going to happen.
I hope somebody calls you mentally
like
resistant.
Like a slow seething temper. It's like slow. She has like a
but
like
at
a
some
slow
point,
walk into the clubhouse with a 7-iron stuck in the back of their neck.
Yeah.
I think she was mentally resistant. I can't feel my left side.
You got it. I don't want to talk about this. Well. I don't want to hear these words anymore. Like, I'm starting to get mad again. This is upsetting. It's been a long day.
I'm
mentally
it.
Drained and I can't go forward.
I am not going to mentally resist sleep later on. No. I swear to God, I'll tell you that right now. Look, it's all right. You know what, though?
No, I'm sorry.
This is why even guys on the PGA Tour, you'll see coaches are like used car salesmen.
Oh. Mm.
They go bounce from guy to guy to guy to guy to guy to guy to guy.
Really?
And they stay with a guy, and then the guy fires him, and they bring somebody else in. Another person will be telling them the exact same thing, but in a different way.
Huh.
So there are...
They just repurpose the material, huh?
And coming from... For some reason, it's like when you're a teenager. Mm. Whatever your mom and dad say, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. And then... Your uncle or aunt will be telling you the exact same thing, but they'll be like, hey, check this out. And you'll be like, see how smart they are?
So you're saying you have to hear it in the right way.
Yeah. Everybody
and that you got to figure out who that is.
Everybody processes information different. Yeah, and some people, if you give it to them, there are some people that want no nonsense. You just, you know, some guys, if you're like, come here, stupid. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, yes, sir. What can I? Right? And other people go, come here, stupid. Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah, bye.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. Yeah. We didn't bond. You know, and
we
it's caddying
cool
the same way.
I bet.
Caddying, there's times that you can say things to guys and times that you can't. I remember one guy told him he sucked in the middle of the golf course, in the middle of a round. And after I said it to him, he went birdie, birdie, hole in one.
Yeah. Oh, but you knew. You knew that was going to motivate
him, other guys,
him,
if
right?
I ever said that too, I'd have been fired on the spot.
Have you ever gotten a fight with a
almost,
golfer?
Almost. At one tournament, one guy, and because I didn't understand why he was being such an ass. And I just put the bag down in the middle of the fairway and was like, you want to go right here in front of everybody? Because I'll embarrass you. Your wife's right there.
That'd be hilarious.
And I will bitch slap you in front of your wife.
What did
and
he
my
say?
My wife was there, too.
She was like, do it.
No. they didn't know what we were saying because we were in the middle of the fairway and stuff. And then he was like, just give me the clap. And I just put the bag up. And I was like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you need to get it out right now.
Act right. That's
funny.
Like that's
it.
Crazy. Yeah.
We didn't last much longer after
that.
We
were asking today.
We're friends now.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
We were wondering, like, you watch these guys walk, you know, great distance over the course of the day, and they walk from hole to hole. And, like, do they ever run out of stuff to say to each other? Like, what do they talk about?
Everything other than golf.
That's what I thought. It's like in baseball when they go out to the mound.
They're never talking about.
They don't talk about baseball a lot of the time. They just talk about, they shoot the shit. They try and get you back on track. I was always curious what these guys stroll through these, you know. This
depends on the dudes.
Interesting.
Some dudes talk boats, fishing, planes, cars.
Whatever they're into.
Movies, TV, you know. Whatever, you name it.
Yeah.
You talk about anything other than golf.
That's interesting.
Because when you get to the golf ball and you have to hit your shot, that's when you need to just get to that mental pinpoint of focus.
Mm-hmm.
But to try, it's like trying to hold a fist.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to hold a fist for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
That's a good analogy.
You
can
hold your fist for a little bit, but then you got to let it go. And then you can hold it again.
That's
you
know, really
even
interesting.
Even boxers, they don't hold that fist. It's when they throw the punch, they clinch it. You know what I mean? So.
My dad was a boxer.
Oh, really?
At Stanford.
That's funny.
He taught me how to hit a little bit.
Yeah. See?
I go after
tell
it.
Tell that dude to call you mentally resistant.
I know, trust me. But you're at the club, so it's like you can't do anything. We get in some
I'm
trouble
sure
at that club.
I'm sure
you
catch him at some point where it's just the two of y'all walking. Somebody maybe. Throw a quick left cross.
I don't recognize him. He recognized me. I did not. I looked at him, didn't know him from gym. You know what
that's
I mean?
Like, I would love it. Like, if you just caught that pow, one quick one, and he come out with a nose bloody. She punched me in the nose and be like, I punched. Why?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm a lady.
I don't even
remember.
No,
your
can't.
Your nose is punch resistant.
I'm just going to keep using that in all its forms.
Awesome.
Well, we appreciate you taking this time after a long day.
Thanks for showing me how to make a GIF.
I want full credit on Twitter for that.
I am iPhone.
Like a shout out.
I am like iPhone ridiculously stupid.
You've got a good phone and you did pretty well with the cutting of the video, but
I do really good when it comes
GIFing
to that
is
stuff,
different.
But when people go, hey, let's make a meme. Yeah, I'm like, I got a tough time spelling meme.
Yeah. Memes are gifts better. Gifts of the way.
Whatever. I don't even know what the same thing to me. I don't care. It's all the same.
Just don't put text in all of them.
I didn't put text in any of them.
Good. Only do that. That's like a rare occasion that you would put a text in it.
So. Well, this one, there's no reason to put text.
There isn't. It's self-explanatory.
It stands up all by itself.
Just, so stay tuned
for this. WTF one. Where everyone's like,
Michael, what's your Twitter?
Yeah, what's your Twitter handle?
At ESPN Caddy. It's the same for
and
Instagram.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
At ESPN Caddy, but I spell it C-A-D-D-I-E.
Okay.
All I like one word.
So you guys are going to want to follow that and then check out this tweet and Instagram that he's going to post. Because
this gift that we made basically on air.
Hilarious.
So. Hilarious. Yeah. And we'll put those in the show notes so people can find you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, listeners, for our 13th episode.
Yeah.
From
I'm on the unlucky 13th.
You're on the lucky 13th.
Lucky 13th.
Awesome.
From the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Thank you, guys. And stay sassy.
Definitely stay sassy.
Stay sassy.
Yeah.
With wisdom.